I think Ivan Raiklin is going to join us here in a minute, but we're hoping that Mike Lindell is going to check in with us, right, Logan? Okay, we're going to go to Ivan right now. We're trying to make contact with Mike and get an update from California as he is running for the chairmanship of the RNC. We're hearing some interesting stories about polls that have Mike doing very, very well. It seems as though, indeed, the establishment is definitely, the Patriots and even many of the 168 apparently are not for the re-election of Rona Romney McDaniel. Apparently, a lot of folks are saying it is time for her to go. But again, we're reading reports that Mike Lindell is doing very, very, very well in the polls. Now, I don't know if that's the general public they're polling or the 168. I haven't been able to nail that part down yet, but I think it's getting very interesting out there in California. Joining me now is Ivan Raiklin as we wait the appearance of hopefully Mike Lindell, the host of the broadcast. Ivan, welcome back to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, Brandon, thanks for having me on again. I really appreciate it. Always good to be on talking to a fellow patriot.
You too, my friend.
The good fight, crushing the commies.
You too, my friend. Did you hear the interview I just did with Mickey and Tommy?
I did.
And Randy?
I've been sitting. Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you bringing them on because at the end of the day, whether it's left, center, or right, the mainstream media, none of them are platforming the true story of January 6th. It's on us to be able to break through the censorship and unplatforming and deplatforming to actually showcase to America what's actually going on with our country.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you.
Indeed is. Well, thank you for putting me together with Randy and Tommy. Of course, I know Mickey and interviewed her many times. I just saw her from a distance this last week when I was in Nashville. What's the latest that you're working on?
Yeah, so I mean, just like when I was talking about what the speaker should be doing, whether it's Speaker Trump or now Speaker McCarthy, we'll see how long he lasts in that role. But so far, I got to give credit where credit is due. I'm pleasantly surprised from what I'm hearing from Speaker McCarthy. And I say that cringing at myself, honestly, because he is definitely not. Let me just say this. If I were to see him, I would tell him, you know what? You keep doing what you're doing right now. I might actually start being polite to you. And the reason why I say that is because what he did in the press conference yesterday, I'm talking about Kevin McCarthy, he absolutely, like, I've never seen this level of emotion. He eviscerated a reporter when he responded about why he was throwing out, Adam Pencilneck bullshit from his Intel committee, also with Eric Swalwell, right? So these guys are going to be essentially not on the Intel committee. I would go one step further. But again, coming from somebody from like Kevin McCarthy, I'm actually surprised he's even blocking these guys from being on committee. So he must be getting some phone calls from some folks to let him know that he needs to do this. Otherwise, his speakership is in peril.
Yeah.
So next step needs to be, obviously, censure these two and others. Remove them off of all committees. And actually, not even that. They need to be expelled from Congress. Criminal referrals need to be had for defrauding the entire American populace and government for all the lies that they've committed, namely Schiff particularly. And then we go into essentially arrests. And if I were the Speaker of the House, these guys would already be sitting in jail on the Capitol grounds. I would direct the sergeant at arms and say, you know, these are the criminal statutes that were violated. And then now you can go ahead and rot until the 2 years of me being speakership is over with. And if you want to defend yourself, by all means, go ahead and hire your own lawyers and bankrupt yourself in the process. Please, by all means.
Here is, I believe, the heated exchange with McCarthy and a reporter you're referring to yesterday. I believe this is it.
Mm-hmm. Intel committee. Is Santos on the Intel committee? Am I allowing Schiff to be on other committees? Go right ahead. Well, let me be very.
This is a man who should not be on
He's gotten elected by his district. So, okay, let me be very clear and respectful to you. You ask me a question. When I answer it, it's the answer to your question. You don't get to determine whether I answer your question or not, okay? In all respect. Thank you. No, no, let's answer her question. You just raised a question. I'm going to be very clear with you. The Intel Committee is different. You know why? Because what happens in the Intel Committee, you don't know. What happens in the Intel Committee, although the secrets are going on in the world, other members of Congress don't know. What did Adam Schiff do as the chairman of the Intel Committee? What Adam Schiff did, use his power as a chairman and lie to the American public. Even the Inspector General said it. When Devin Nunes put out a memo, he said it was false. When we had a laptop, he used it before an election to be politics and say that it was false and said it was the Russians. When he knew different, when he knew the intel, if you talk to John Radcliffe, DNI, he came out ahead of time and says there's no intel to prove that, and he used his position as chairman, knowing he has information the rest of America does not, and lied to the American public. When a whistleblower came forward, he said he did not know the individual, even though his staff had met with him and set it up. So no, he does not have a right to sit on that. But I will not be like Democrats and play politics with these, where they removed Republicans from committees and all committees. So yes, he can serve on a committee, but he will not serve on intel, because it goes to the national security of America. And I will always put them first, all right? And if you want to talk about Swalwell, let's talk about Swalwell, because you have not had the briefing that I had. I had the briefing and Nancy Pelosi had the briefing from the FBI. The FBI never came before this Congress to tell the leadership of this Congress that Eric Swalwell had a problem with a Chinese spy until he served on intel. So it wasn't just us who were concerned about it. The FBI was concerned about putting a member of Congress on the Intel Committee that has the rights to see things that others don't because of his knowledge and relationship with a Chinese spy. They brought it to the works of the leaders. I've got that briefing. So I do not believe he should sit on there, that committee. And I believe there's 200 other Democrats that can serve on that committee. So this has nothing to do with Santos. Santos is not on the Intel Committee. But you know what? Those voters elected Schiff, even though he lied. Those voters elected Swalwell, even though he lied to the American public too. So you know what? I'll respect his voters too, and they'll serve on committees, but they will not serve on a place that has national security reverence, because integrity matters to me. That's the answer to your question.
Wow, where did that guy come from?
Yeah, wasn't that a surprise, Brandon?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he went from being basically a Mike Pence protege, you know, the regular toxic, feckless, stone-cold coward that good old Mikey Pence is. All of a sudden, you see some atoms moving around in his brain cells. And
so what do you think happened?
I was pleasantly surprised.
What do you think happened? I wonder. Obviously, he'd gotten some briefings in the past, but I'm wondering if he is now in line to the presidency and Speaker of the House. I wonder if his level of briefings, security and national security briefings, has stepped up to a level he's not had before that he does now get to have in his capacity. I'm just guessing, but I'm wondering if that has sobered him. Because he keeps hammering on the issue of national security, and this is a mm-hmm. seriousness I've not seen from him like this before. I'm wondering if this dude has gotten some pretty tough national security briefings that have really made him sober. I'm just guessing. What are your thoughts?
I think there are a couple of things at play here as it relates to why he's coming out. So one thing is that he now has the gavel and has now more viewership of what he says as the speaker. That's one. So maybe he was kind of this way before, but he had no ability to block or do anything as it relates to committee assignments. That's number one. Number two, there's really no change in what he gets in terms of briefings, because for those that don't know, there's an organization or a group of eight people in the Congress called the Gang of Eight. And those Gang of Eight are the speaker, the minority leader, the House Intel Chair, and the House Minority Leader on the House side, and then replicate that over in the Senate, meaning the Senate Majority Leader, Minority Leader, the Senate Intel Committee Chair, and then the Vice Chair. Those are the eight individuals that get all the highest level classified briefings from the executive branch of what's going on in the world. And so that he was already the minority leader, so becoming the speaker doesn't really change things up. So I would say that's tenuous at best. What I think most important that's going on is that what we saw happen during that first week for him to earn the speakership, a lot of concessions had to be made. And in the back of his mind, and me publicly, I mean, there was a Twitter video, or I should say a video that I posted on Telegram. One of these guys that are, I don't know what you want to call them, a troll, blue checked, where they change their religion every week. One week it's the rainbow religion. One week it's the Fauci religion people. Now it's, I think, still the Ukraine religion. So they have the Ukraine flag in their account. One of these big accounts posted up one of my videos that ended up going pretty viral. Maybe it's up to 1 million views, where I talk about if Kevin McCarthy, by close of business basically Monday, doesn't release the 14,000 hours, then guess what? We're going to try to influence one of these members of the Real Team 6, Patriot Posse, whom I actually bumped into, two of them earlier today, Matt Rosendale and Lauren Boebert. We're going to go ahead and demand that they vacate the chair because he's not moving as necessary. And so I think he has that in his background that if he does not move quickly and deliberately enough as it relates to what we in the Patriot movement demand, then his speakership is at stake. So I'm not kind of being hypothetical when I say if he doesn't move fast enough, we're going to continue the pressure for his removal. And who knows, we may just put in Speaker Trump into the mix because he's not moving fast enough. Now, if Kevin McCarthy continues to make statements like that and not only just vocalize it, but literally in writing with a signature and then create these committees like he's been doing, like if he keeps that up, his speakership is going to continue and we're going to back off. And so he keeps that up. I mean, I'm just going to say, you know, we're going to give credit where credit's due, but still understanding that we really don't trust him, but we're going to continue to verify as long as he stays within his lane that, again, the Freedom Caucus has placed for him, then he can remain speaker. If he deviates 1 millimeter or slows down too much, we're going to call for his removal.
Wow. All right. So what else are you hearing in regards to movement on the issues that matter to us? Well, let me ask you this question first. Remind our audience, not only are you a constitutional attorney, but you were an officer in the Green Berets, correct?
Yes, sir.
I was. And you were overseas. And where were you overseas? What field of action were you in?
Yeah, I've had the opportunity to serve in terms of my experience as a Green Beret. I had the opportunity to serve as a detachment commander in Central South America, as well as I've served as an executive officer for it's called an advanced operating base or a company in Afghanistan. I've also served as a company commander in the Middle East, working with the Jordanians to help them facilitate countering ISIS. So that would probably be my role as a Green Beret. And I also had a domestic mission where, remember back in 2018, we had Hurricane Harvey in Texas. So I helped there because I was in the Texas, it was a special forces unit in Texas in San Antonio. And so we were activated as an entire essentially Texas National Guard to address that. And I had the opportunity to work that problem set to be able to do humanitarian assistance, disaster relief, recovery efforts during that hurricane effort.
So, and you speak how many languages? Five?
Yeah, I mean, I claim five, English being one of them. I get by. But if you want to test me out one of these days, Brandon, by all means, I'm not too shabby in Spanish, in Russian, Arabic is already, tapered off, and then a little bit of French. So that was it. Five of the six official United Nations languages I speak at some level.
Wow, we. All right, so now that you have that. Now that we have that as your background, this was the background I wanted to remind our audience about before I ask you this question. I have had some conversations tonight. One, I had a conversation with who is also an attorney and a former Navy SEAL. And I deal with a lot of guys in the intelligence arena that are retired. One of them, again, retired from the military as an attorney, former Navy SEAL tonight, is joining me in our conversations that we were having today in how sober he is in the great concern that he has for the fact that we are apparently pushing toward World War III deliberately by this administration. What are your thoughts on giving these tanks to Ukraine, the other munitions, the Patriot missiles, all of these different things we're doing? It seems as though we are really pushing, this administration is really pushing, wanting us to just go ahead and be in a full-fledged war with Russia. We're already in a proxy war. But as a man that has this military background and understands these geopolitical issues and military issues, what are your thoughts? What are your concerns?
Yeah, I mean, that's a massive question. I'm going to try to package it into kind of a couple of themes here, Brandon. I think my perspective on all of the policies that are being promulgated from the guy currently squatting in our White House, you have to look at as a backdrop that this is a wholly illegitimate executive branch. And that illegitimate executive branch was in part installed by the Chinese Communist Party through their leverage and financial dealings with that illegitimate family. Okay. So if you look at it from that lens, you would agree with me that all policies that have been promulgated since January 20th of 2021 are there to benefit China and to benefit the pockets of bigger organizations in the United States at the peril of the rest of the country. Okay. Now, let's take it to Ukraine. If you were to try to increase the position globally of China, I think the very first thing you want to do is to weaken the United States as well as create more leverage and weaken Russia as essentially the third player out of the 193 countries in the world, right? So that's essentially China would want that to happen. Now, how do you do it? You involve the United States in a foreign kind of escapade, if you will. That's really not necessary for national security interests of the United States. But at the same time, you benefit the senior leaders. So when you create a mechanism where you can have funding go to the Ukraine so that then on the back end, 10% goes to the big guy, you kind of see that this is an entire money laundering operation. And you get buy-in from the senior leadership of the national security state, the Department of Defense, and the military-industrial complex, and you sell it as a legitimate incursion or involvement because you just pulled out of a previous involvement of 20 plus years in Afghanistan, right? And so I think if you back up and look at it from that perspective and then follow the money, I think most people would start to agree with that. That is part of the calculus. Now, those that are in the lower level individuals may not see that. So they think they're doing the right thing by, we're pushing up against Russia. Meanwhile, our existential threat is not Russia by any stretch of the means. It is the Chinese Communist Party through their economic, information war, and diplomatic means, which they've basically, I've said this before, I was on InfoWars a couple of weeks ago with Alex Jones. China is eating our lunch, breakfast, and dinner, all of our meals, because we're letting them do it. And it's not that we're letting, I guess. It's that the senior leadership in the executive branch that are there constitutionally to provide for the common defense are not doing that. They have been co-opted by the Chinese Communist Party. And so all roads lead to kind of policies to money launder for this illegitimate Biden regime in order to benefit China.
Wow. Well, I'm very concerned.
We have a fully captured executive branch. I mean, I want somebody to argue against that. Show me evidence to the contrary. Change my mind, as they say. And I have yet to see any of that. Well, please, I'm here to listen.
And you know what? You're more on the right, obviously. You're saying that. I believe that. Others believe that on the right. And then we have our friend Naomi Wolf, who, worked with Al Gore and comes more from the progressive left, who's coming our way on many vital issues of the day, says, when I'm interviewing her, this White House has been captured by the CCP. So people on the right and the left and the
center. It's disgusting for me to say, Brandon. Like, me saying this is just, I'm surprised that we're even in this position where I'm kind of just loosely saying, we have a captured resident. I hate to say that, but the evidence is so, it's clearly there. I mean, look at the Marco Polo USA report, the 500, whatever it was, pages laying out the 469 crimes by the Biden criminal syndicate laptop and the report that came from it. And then the China, you know, the interviews of Bob Alinsky, all the evidence, all it's all out there, but the media is blocking it from being put out there. But critical thinkers like you and me, we dig in and see it for ourselves. It's not beyond a reasonable doubt. It is beyond any shadow of a doubt that this guy's captured based on their financial dealings with Chinese intel services.
You see it. I see it. Other high-ranking military officials see it. Naomi Wolf, more on the left progressive side, sees it. There are a lot of people now that are seeing it because it's that obvious. So it's not a political attack, because people from different political backgrounds and persuasions are all saying the same thing, that have common sense and are being honest. Now, that, I believe, shows, as I started out the broadcast tonight saying, conversations I've been having with key people today and their background, there is a heightened sense of how existential the threats are against our country right now. We are at a tipping point. I don't know what's going to happen next, but we've got a real problem. We have this administration pushing in the armament and the munitions toward Ukraine that seem to be pushing us toward war with Russia, which is a line.
It diverts our attention, all of our resources, when it should be ready, and we should be preparing to have an all-out, how should I put it? There needs to be, like, the CCP committee, the Chinese pushback committee that's headed up by Congressman Gallagher. There needs to be a declaration of war, because there already is a war. They have declared it on us, and we're literally saying, oh, there's nothing going on with China, because our executive branch is not. So Congress is the one that declares war. We need to let the country know that we are currently in a war with China. And so by declaring it is the first step, and then we take countermeasures. Couple things we can do. The trade deficit we have with China, guess what? Why don't we have a resolution in Congress stating that actually that does not exist? It doesn't exist. And if China doesn't like that, then the next step we do is, well, guess what? China now owes the rest of the world $100 trillion for decimating economies worldwide with their CCP-19 bioweapon. And then we continue to escalate and escalate. Our military is... You know, 2 years ago, we would be able to, I think, repel any threats from anywhere. But because all the policies from the top, forcing this mandates, forcing the wokeism within our military, literally pushed out all of our warriors. And now you have folks that are running around in our national security apparatus. The warriors are the ones that have mutilated themselves to a point where they literally can't fight, because all they can focus their time and attention on is drinking puberty blockers and educating themselves on using the right pronouns. Meanwhile, China is eating lunch, breakfast, dinner, snacks, desserts, the water, the ice cubes, everything.
Well, as I was saying, the pushing us toward war with Russia, people forget the military alliance between Russia and China. In 2018, Russia and China carried out what was said to be the largest military exercise in world history, Vostok 18. And the late Dr. Peter Vincent Pry, CIA analyst, former chairman of the, chief of staff of the Congressional EMP Commission, head of the EMP Task Force, said, sitting at this very desk in my 2019 documentary, Siege, that Vostok 18... with China and Russia, perhaps the largest military exercise in world history, with tanks and planes and missiles. They were practicing, he said, a nuclear attack on NATO and the United States. Now, you put that into context in 2019, you're like, that's not good. But you put that in context to today, and what is this all in Russia and Ukraine about? It's in part Ukraine joining NATO. And it's about what now is going on with Russia. And you look back to 2019 and 2018, and 2018, the exercise of China and Russia to practice a nuclear attack on NATO and America. And yet before that, Peter Price says, they practiced the new way of warfare, Operation Dragonfly. They were hacking on our America's power grid. Dr. Peter Pry, 2019, said on my documentary, that's an act of war, or at least it should be considered such. And yes, he said, we are already in World War III. What he said in 2019, I wish he was with us today. He passed away, sadly, in August. But what we're doing with Russia right now and the Biden regime is doing, of course, is depleting our resources, because there's a study I quote in my news tonight that the things we're sending to Ukraine, we need, and the time to get those things back into our inventory is not quick enough, and we won't have what we need if something breaks out with China moving in on Taiwan. So if your White House is captured and you're wanting to destroy the troops, kick out people who don't take the shot, give them the shot and make them sick, prosecute conservatives in the military and boot them out and destroy your military and give away your armament, this would be what you would do if you were captured. Everything this administration is doing, open the border, let in who knows the amount of terrorists.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you do this, you are doing the work of the CCP. If he wasn't doing the work of the CCP, you would have to ask, how is this happening? I mean, the only way you would do all these things is if you were working for the other team.
Intentional. It's intentional. It's absolutely intentional, Brandon. Now, I don't want to get too deep. I think we've addressed the problem. I think people see it. Now we have to figure out, how do we fix it? That's important. So we need to focus our attention on how do we fix this problem. And the way I've seen it, looking at, you know, my background and just researching it, right now our best mechanism to be able to start taking back territory that we lost is we have to support members of the House and the committees in the House that will do the work of not just investigating and having hearings. No, creating massive consequences for these bad actors. And so that's why I'm literally almost every day up on the Capitol Hill. So today I had breakfast. There was an event this morning. It was an event for all the veterans that are in Congress right now, on the House side. And then luckily I had an opportunity, because now we're starting to find out which members are in what committees, so we can now start target supporting each one of them, whether it be John James. I saw Lauren Boebert earlier today. She's going to be on House Oversight, so we're going to be able to use that as a vector. Obviously, we know she's part of the Patriot Posse. Matt Rosendale is going to be on Veterans Affairs. Like some of these issues, such as for Veterans Affairs, we have, I think, at least one of the J6 defendants is a veteran. They haven't even been prosecuted or convicted, and the Veterans Affairs Department has pulled his benefits. Well, guess what? It doesn't work that way. They need to be convicted before those benefits can be taken out, and he still has to be given due process. We have the Mike Gallagher with the Chinese Communist Party Committee. We have Tom Massey, I had a brief conversation with today, on the House Weaponization Committee. So these members have already been listed. Now, as far as it applies to, you know, J6 and getting after some of the other folks that are captured by China, like Nancy Pelosi, we already know who's going to be on the committee for House Administration. That's the committee that provides oversight over the House Sergeant at Arms, which means we can now look into January 6th. We can look into Nancy Pelosi, her daughter, her son-in-law, the previous sergeant-at-arms, and we can start creating consequences, because guess what? We bring them in. If we show that there were criminal activity, then we go ahead and arrest them with the sergeant-at-arms. And if people don't like that, well, I guess they're going to have to feel sorry for themselves, because I'm not going to. We're just going to create consequences. So that's kind of why I'm up there every day, is because I think at this point we've all identified the problem. Now we have to start regaining territory that we've lost over the last couple of years and many years. And going back to the statement made by Kevin McCarthy, I think there's such a demand signal to then go back, especially with the weaponization of the government committee, to literally criminally prosecute not only the 60 members of the former CIA members that provided the lies and defrauding the government by saying that the Biden laptop had all the earmarks of a Russian disinfo campaign. But we're going to go after Eric Ciaramella and his two attorneys. I'm talking about the whistleblowers. Then we're going to go after every single person that was on Crossfire Hurricane, the legal spying on Trump. We're going to relitigate everything. Actually, litigate for the first time in a massive way, going all the way back to all those people spying, all the way up to Mikey Pence, everybody involved in the CCP 19 task force, all the way to Mike Pence and Jared Kushner, and then all the way down to the school board members. And we're going to leverage all of these committees. And the reason why I say we is because I'm going to be trying to do this, you know, supporting them, because I've researched a lot of this. And then I'm going to go and essentially being coerced by Brandon House with his Daily Show that he foisted on me.
Ah.
I'm going to be communicating it throughout the country from 4 to 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Oh, and yep. He does that over at WVWTV.com. If you don't catch it live, it's on demand at WVWTV.com. Do you want to take some calls with me?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do that. 901.
I was getting long-winded. I figured I'd throw in a joke in there.
No, I love it, though. I love it. 901-316-8404. 901-316-8404. 901-316-8404. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions. Now, I don't want to put you on the spot.
Please do.
Okay. Well, again,
I'm a big boy. I'm not like Mike Pence. I can take questions and I can answer them.
Okay. Well, okay. Well, I was given an article today I find very interesting, and I just want to ask you if you're familiar with this. This is from Newsweek. This is dated May 17th.
Never heard of that publication. Yeah, I don't consume that. Next.
May 17th, 2021. Exclusive. Inside the military secret undercover army. The largest undercover force the world has ever known is one created by the Pentagon over the past decade. Some 60,000 people now belong to this secret army, many working under masked identities and in low profile, all part of a broad program called Signature Reduction. The force, more than 10 times the size of the clandestine elements of the CIA, carries out domestic and foreign assignments, both in military uniforms and under civilian cover, in real life and online, sometimes hiding in private businesses and consultancies? Some of them household
consulates.
Names. Thank you. Some of them household names.
Or maybe consultancies.
Some companies. The unprecedented shift has placed an ever greater number of soldiers, civilians, and contractors working under false identities, partly as a natural result in the growth of secret special forces, but also an intentional response to the challenges of traveling and operating in an increasingly transparent world. The explosion of Pentagon cyber warfare, moreover, has led to thousands of spies who carry out their day-to-day work in various made-up personas, the very type of nefarious operations the United States decries when Russia and China spies do the same. They go on to say Newsweek's exclusive report on this secret world is a result of a two-year investigation involving the examination of over 600 resumes, 1,000 job postings, dozens of Freedom of Information Act requests, and scores of interviews with participants and defense decision makers. What emerges is a window into not just a little-known sector of the American military, but also a completely unregulated practice. And it goes on from there. And this is an extremely, extremely long article. I want to get into it more and report on it more at another program. What do you think is going on here with your military background?
Oh, please. I need to ask the very first question I look at when I'm as a professionally trained analyst as well. I look at the author of the article and the publication that is behind. So I want to take a look at who the author is. My first looking at those numbers, to me, from what I know, that is absolutely fantastical. Like, this is just it's beyond fiction. But I want to take a look and see where some of the parts that may be true. If you go back, what was the name of the author?
His name is Timothy A. Clary, Clary.
Yeah, the first thing that I would do is find out what his background is and what he's trying to do with this article.
No, I'm sorry. That was the picture, crediting the picture. The author is William M. Arkin. William M., as in Mary, A-R-K-I-N.
Yeah, that might be somebody I've heard of. No, that's a different Arkin. But I look at those numbers, that's a little too over the top, and I would have to read that full article to give any sort of comment on it. But I'll say this, I mean, are those capabilities out there? I would guess that they are, but not in those numbers. I mean, that's ridiculous. I would guess that it's much smaller, much smaller.
And of course, my question is it being used to protect the American people or surveil the American people in this climate and day?
Well, if the government, if the executive branch is legitimate, and they actually follow the rule of law, then the Department of Defense is focused externally, right, to provide for the common defense from our external enemies. Now, when you have an absolutely illegitimate, lawless executive branch, that's when it begs the question of what are they doing? And to be honest with you, Brandon, I have no clue. They're doing whatever they want. And so possibly they're doing, I mean, you saw what the DHS was just released. Oh, cognitive infrastructure, your thoughts and my thoughts, if they go counter, even though they're truthful, they counter the narrative of the illegitimate executive branch. Well, guess what? That means that they have the ability to defend and protect the cognitive infrastructure of the United States, meaning, hey, you have thought crimes, so we're going to come after you. That's what they're doing. Like, again, I go at everything under the premise that these guys are absolutely illegitimate. These are thugs, domestic terrorists, whether it be the FBI or the TSA. I wrote my Substack about it. I stand by it, and there's only more evidence to support it. So they're going to be treated as such. When you have acted in a way where you are now defined as a domestic terrorist, you will be treated as such. And unfortunately for us, I'm going to follow the rule of law, stick to my moral and ethical principles. So I'm bound by the rule of law of the Constitution, and we're going to create that body check through the House right now. And I get it. It's going to be a slow process, not going to be as fast as many people want. But that's what we have, unfortunately.
Yeah. If this is the right guy, I guess this guy.
So the House Armed Services Committee, I'm going to send me that article. I'm going to read through it. And if they're going outside of their bounds, I'll be contacting members of the House Armed Services Committee to do what they need to do to call those people in to expose this if they're going outside of our constitutional authorities that we've granted them.
If it's the same guy, he served in the U.S. Army intelligence from 74 to 78, stationed in West Berlin.
And, yeah, a little bit before my time.
So there you go. And here, I'll send it over to you. Let's go to the phone lines. Line one, David in Ohio. David, thanks for calling in tonight on the Lindell Report. Hi, David.
Good evening, Brandon.
Hi.
Good evening. It's great to talk to you. I appreciate this program and your program so much. They're doing so much. I have two things tonight. Number one, I'm listening to your talk and some of the other programs. One of my specialties is pattern recognition. And what I see when I heard about the governor of Georgia at the WEF meeting, all this and then these tanks and everything start getting sent to Ukraine after the WEF gets together. I think their role in this is just staggering and what they're trying to do behind the scenes. And I want to know your opinions on whether you see this things also.
What do you think, Ivan?
Yeah, so I haven't looked at the deep dive on that. That's a good point. I mean, you always got to follow the money. I would ask this question. Where are these tanks coming from and who's benefiting from it? Like, who's producing the parts? Who's doing the maintenance? Which contract companies, you know, what state are they in? Is it possible that they're in Georgia and they're producing a lot of this stuff out of Georgia and Brian Kemp is, you know, scratching the back of those that helped facilitate his selection, his reselection this past gubernatorial race? I would definitely look into that.
Interesting news as we're on the air is that Governor Brian Kemp declares state of emergency to deal with Atlanta's domestic terrorist. So isn't that interesting?
Is he going after, what is he going after, FBI?
No, ATF.
Or is it the TSA?
Antifa. I bet he's going after Antifa.
Yeah, ATF. Well, hopefully he goes after ATF.
No, Antifa.
No, I got you. I know what it was. I'm just throwing it out there. Hopefully he's not only going after the Antifa, but also ATF, FBI, and TSA, because they're the ones that are violating our constitutional rights, probably more so than Antifa.
He's calling up the National Guard to deal with these out-of-town insurgents, if need be.
Yeah, I wonder who's going to take...
It's kind of interesting. Kind of interesting for an insurgent to be going after the insurgents.
But Brandon, I think it's Brandon. Than these.
Thank you, David. What's that? Before I go to the next caller, what's that sigh about, Ivan?
We have a lot of problems in our country, and I'll just be honest. I need help. I need help addressing these because I'm stretched thin. I'll keep rowing as fast as I can. You know, the hummingbird pace, if you will, with my toothpick. but I need other people at least going half the speed of a hummingbird with their little toothpick. And that's how we're going to start taking back territory.
Wow. Let's go
start at your district, your county,
line
and then
two.
Start working our way up.
Mark, Pennsylvania. Mark, go ahead. You're on with Ivan.
Yeah. Brandon, thanks for taking my call. I just had an interesting question for you. When Biden took residence, they caught Russia twice, right off the eastern shore down there in Virginia. And I was just wondering, do you think it's possible that they could have one of them nuclear missiles setting over there? It's only 27 miles from the White House.
Oh, wow. Ivan?
I mean, anything's possible. Do I know for sure? Do I have evidence of it? I do not. I don't have evidence either way, but I wouldn't. I mean, this, again, I go back to what I said before several times, even tonight. When you have an absolutely illegitimate executive branch that all they're focused on is intentional destruction and dissemination of our national security apparatus and the country, nothing's off the table. So we're getting to a very crucial point in our country that if Kevin McCarthy in the House does not increase the rate in which it conducts a body check against the executive branch, things are going to get spicy. I think things will get very spicy very quickly. So that's why I'm trying to do it within the lawful means to kind of get things back on track. And I'm actually glad that Elon Musk had a meeting with Kevin McCarthy and Hakeem Jeffries tonight to allow and have a conversation about making sure that there's a free speech platform where everybody can express their grievances so that we can actually compromise and move the country in a singular direction.
Absolutely.
As opposed to getting devoured by another foreign actor.
Line three, Mike from Texas. If you go quick, we'll get you in, Mike.
Thanks, Brandon.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Sure can.
Great. Thanks, Brandon. I was listening to two things. I was listening to you earlier, and make it short. You got to tell the people what to do. It's not that they're sitting around, they just don't know what to do. And I agree with you. Just don't go start picking up your guns and start shooting people. That's not the answer. But Ivan, I want to thank you. You got some balls, buddy. And then we need more people like you that's going to go take care of business.
When are you going to join me?
Right now. Let's go.
Okay, so check this out. I need you to contact Barry Loudermilk and ask him and his staff. You can look it up. I'm hearing rumors that he's going to chair the subcommittee in the House administration on January 6th, and he's going to be investigating Nancy Pelosi's role and potentially the one releasing the 14,000 hours, supposedly. Contact him and call him and say, I support your efforts in getting to the full truth of January 6th, particularly as you develop the evidence showing that Nancy Pelosi, her staff, her family were the ones that facilitated that weak security perimeter intentionally to allow for what happened on January 6th, and she needs to be held to account.
Ivan,
let's roll with that.
Ivan.substack.com, right?
Ivanraiklin.substack.com.
Ivanraiklin.substack.com. Ivanraiklin.substack.com. You can also see his show on demand as well as live at WVWTV.com. Brand new show over there, WVWTV.com. 30 minutes every day, Ivan Raiklin. Ivan, thanks for serving our country and for still serving our country. Your oath, the oath is not retired, is it, my friend?
No, it only escalates at this point. Thank you, Brandon.
Thank you. Ivan Raiklin checking in. Mike Lindell, we were hoping to get a visit from him tonight, but of course he's busy in California whipping up the votes for RNC chair, and so we'll keep you posted as news comes in. But I'm Brandon House sitting in for Mike Lindell. Don't forget to go to MyPillow.com. Use that promo code L77 for discounts and to support the work of Mike Lindell. Sheets, towels, blankets, pet beds, slippers, sandals, mattresses, mattress toppers, robes, and much more. MyPillow.com. Use that promo code L77. It also works at MyStore.com, the home for American entrepreneurs started by Mike Lindell. That is the Lindell Report. I'm Brandon House for Mike Lindell. Thanks for watching. Take care.